Over the weekend in Chicago, the Grateful Dead said goodbye with a run of farewell shows, although lead guitarist and singer Jerry Garcia had already checked out nearly 20 years ago. But the Dead were more than Garcia, and much more than a band. They were a community of musicians and fans that defied time and space, and even music on some of their more esoteric albums. A community also surrounded the band, a group in its heyday during the same years as the Grateful Dead, defining America through music.
Been gone for so long, had to be so strong. Sometimes I find, just don't know which way to go. Wheels roll on along.
Amy Helm grew up in that community with a seat next to her dad, the legendary drummer Levon Helm, who had that unforgettable voice, part rock, part anthem from the Civil War. Helm checked out about 3 years ago at age 71. But Amy has kept the traditions of her father and the band alive. She's releasing her solo debut, Didn't It Rain, on July 24th. She's also on tour with the amazing Mavis Staples and Patty Griffin this summer. For much of the past two decades, though, she played with her dad in the Midnight Rambles, a sound collective who would have the biggest, wildest jam sessions at Helm's Farm in Woodstock, New York. In the end, she says music is the place where people come to share melodies and memories.
For me, in the last few years since he passed, and really trying to do right by him and by his vision, it's really my friends and my community that have helped me keep on a clear vision of the whole thing and steer a clear path there. He brought all of us in, and all of us kind of as a group kept this moving in a direction. Liz Mitchell and Dan and I have been curating these Friday nights, and Liz makes a point of bringing in kids from the community. Every Friday we feature someone, you know, one of the teenagers, one of the young adults in the community that's really is just driven with music and wants to perform, and bring them in and let them sing at the show and make sure that they're getting that experience. So I rely strongly and heavily on my friends and their insight into it.
And your dad's voice.
I was born on this mountain a long, long time ago, before they knocked down the timber and I stripped mine all the coal.
Where is that? I mean, there's just, there's nothing like that.
I know, and yeah. What an extraordinary singer. And I co-produced an album that he made called Dirt Farmer with Larry Campbell, and getting to hear him approach these songs that he had learned as a kid, and you know, coming off of throat cancer and slowly getting his voice back, and watching him go out there and stand at the microphone and get the grit, get the courage up, and just sing these songs, it was absolutely arresting. And I just, you know, I'm one of many, many, obviously, fans of his singing. There's no one that sounds like him.
One of the distinctive pieces of this is, unlike a lot of people, this is a, for lack of a better term, a musical end. Mm. A talented musician who takes music to the end of his or her life. And we've seen in the last decade a couple of people who've gone down this road, had final concerts. And how would you say your dad's experience with this was different, set the tone, is like any other? I mean, because he's part of the end of an era. When he goes, the light goes out.
Yeah. I think that he was just inside of it and caught up in it, and he just loved to play music. Truth be told, he just didn't feel good if he wasn't playing, and he knew that. He would always say, you know, musicians, you get depressed when you're not playing, or you just get a little bit off. You've got to keep playing, and I think that just drove him. And I don't know if he was as aware of what was happening. Certainly after he passed, we all saw the you know, the effect that he had had, especially the last 15 years of his life and the records that he made.
You know, with all the talk about music and social media making music a community, you've had this like since you were born, it seems.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that quite a bit, actually. because my dad was the community piece of what happened with the Rambles, and that's the legacy that he left. And I've been surrounded by, you know, my friends, all of the people that were in the Ramble Band. Everybody is continuing wanting to create music up there and create a place that's a real landing place for musicians too.
So Elvis Costello walks into that room and becomes a nice guy.
He's always a wonderful guy.
That's off the record.
Can't go wrong with Elvis. He's okay. A sweetheart. I remember well the night that he came up with Alan Toussaint. That was a night. That was an incredible night. But I do remember how the room changed when Elvis started singing and when Alan started to play that piano. I remember that.
We may seem happy, like everything's all right.
Is there a musician you can think of who may have thought they might not have been a good fit here, or people were wondering, I wonder if this is going to work out? And it worked out really, really well.
Someone who was a stretch.
I mean, Britney Spears didn't show up, right?
No,
right.
That would have been really great if she had. I would have loved that.
Nice.
But I bet you if Britney Spears had showed up,
it would have worked.
It would have worked. She would have been made to feel right part of it. You know, he didn't judge. I mean, he could be surly on the bandstand, certainly. Definitely, if Britney Spears had been there, she'd have been pulled right under the wing and would have been great.
Big wing.
Yeah, it was.
Rescue me, falling fast and free.
Amy Helm joined us and performed live in Control Room 4 here at The Takeaway. You can check out that full performance, a slow, stripped-down version of Rescue Me from her upcoming solo debut. It's all up at thetakeaway.org.
Like a river to the sea.
Come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.